Praise God. We're just thrilled to be here. And it's so exciting. Isn't it wonderful that you have a church to go to where you actually get something? Don't you feel sorry for people that go to a church and it's like, you know, just this much short of a prison sentence to them? It's like, oh, we have to go and do our time. And then they'll let us go after we get through the line with the wafer. And then they let us leave. Man, I've watched the lines come out of certain churches. I won't mention any denominations or anything, but I've watched the lines of cars coming out, and the look on people's face is like, oh, thank God we're finally getting out of here, but I wish I didn't have to go. Well, aren't you glad it's an opportunity? I said it's an opportunity to get to come and worship, isn't it? And we sang the song about knowing God more. Well, is that really the cry of our hearts? Do we want to know Him more? Is there more of Him than what you know now? Everybody go, Yeah, there's more of them. And as a Christian, we found out what the real thing is all about, you know. It's not just getting born again. You get born again, that's the start. But then, doesn't the Bible say, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may, that you may grow. And so we're to go from grace to grace, from strength to strength, from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Supposed to be a process. Continual throughout our whole lives. We're supposed to grow. And then, you know, I'll tell you this, heaven shouldn't be the biggest transition in the world for the believer. The believer ought to be already so used to what's going to happen in heaven that it's just an easier transition. I think so many people are going to be shocked when they get there. Oh, my Lord, they're praising God so loud. Oh, my Lord, everybody's always praising God. Everybody's always excited about the things of God. Well, that ought to just be our life down here. Amen. Operating in the environment of heaven, if you will. And then when we get to heaven, it'll just be ramped up quite a bit, you know, but it'll just be more of the same. Don't you believe it? Yeah. Yeah, so I'm thankful for heaven, but I'm thankful for being able to grow down here. I'm thankful for being able to come up and learn more about God this year than I did last year. Being able to pray more effectively this year than I did last year. Isn't that wonderful? Get more answers. And then understanding this, that the more you know of Him, the more it affects every area of your life. Amen. And so your relationships, your marriage ought to be better next year than it is this year, right? Your health ought to be increasing and better. And we understand there's attacks and things like that, but the knowledge of God and the Word of God, it'll help you come up in every area of your life. Your finances can come up and can come up even if the economy's going down and down and down. So it's a real privilege to be able to just take these truths of the Word of God and come and preach them. Amen. But, you know, it doesn't matter so much if I preach them if God's not in it, but we know He'll do His part, won't He? There's really three parts to a service. There's God's part. And thank God we don't have to worry about His part being done. It'll always be done. It'll always come to pass correctly. He's just so faithful, isn't He? Then there's the minister's part, would be the second part. And I tell you, I've prepared the best I know how. So that part's taken care of. Guess what the third part is? Anybody know what the third element to a service would be? Point to yourself, slap yourself, smack yourself, whatever you need to do. Your part. And do you know that if your part isn't being done, then the purpose for the service may or may not come to pass like it should. What is your part? To receive. Anybody ever have a stereo receiver in your car or in your house? Or most people do have some kind of receiver. Well, what's that receiver doing? If you have a radio, that receiver is picking up the signal. Amen. And amplifying it and bringing it into manifestation in your surroundings. And so there's times, though, when I don't hear anything in my car. Do you know why? It's not turned on. Or it's not tuned into the channel. Amen. There's times where after church I'll tune it in the fall. I'll tune it in to see what's happening at the Bills pregame report. And if they're playing the Patriots, I just know, just turn it off. Just turn it off, because we know that the Patriots have no problems with the Bills, do they? Praise the Lord. I live right in Orchard Park where the Bills Stadium is, and it's embarrassing when the Patriots come to town. We know they're going to just whip us. Amen. Well, I knew I'd get a response out of that. Praise God. So are you turned on this morning? I know that's a weird thing to ask you in church. Are you turned? You know, you can say, turn to your neighbor and ask him, are you turned on today? Well, turned on to God. And are you tuned in, doing your part? Everybody say, yes, I am. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be on your case all day long, just making you respond. Hallelujah. Because responders are receivers. Do you have your scriptures with you? Do you have a Bible? Can I share some stuff with you out of Romans 1? And what I want to share with you is some stuff, as we've already made mention of, some things that would help you in your growth, help you to grow more. You into that? Growing more? Yeah. More and more and more. How valuable are the things of God to us? Big time valuable, aren't they? Praise the Lord. In Romans, the first chapter, and in verse 9, Paul's writing, and he says this, "For God's my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer." So Paul's praying for the church, is he not? And he goes on to say, "Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established." Interesting scripture, isn't it? Paul says, he's writing this book to the church at Rome. Writing this letter, rather. It wasn't a book, it was a letter. But in writing this, Paul said, "Guys, I'm praying for you, and my prayer is this, that I can get to you in person. Because when I get to you in person, there's going to be some things imparted to you. And those things are going to establish you. Those things are going to help you. They're going to change you." And it's so interesting to me that Paul said that because of this. How many know that the letter to the Romans the world is different today because of that one letter, right? I mean, anybody ever been blessed by something in the book of Romans? Yeah. The world is different today. The whole reason that there's such a thing as most of the churches that are around is largely because of what's in the book of Romans. I mean, it really changed the landscape of the world when Paul wrote this. But it's interesting that he said, "Guys, I got something else for you, amen, that needs to happen in person." He wanted to get to him in person. There was something that he said would be imparted by him being there in person that wouldn't just be imparted through reading his letter. Now, we exalt the Word of God, put that in just the highest place, you know. But there are also things of the Spirit, impartations that he was talking about here, that are essential to our lives as well as the Word of God. I want to talk to you a little bit about spiritual impartations today. Does that sound okay? Yes. Might be a little different, or it might be something. I don't know. Pastor Mott preached on it last week. I don't know. I'm not here. But I believe it'll be a blessing to you. The word impart means really simply this, to distribute and to deposit. Would you like if somebody imparted into your bank account without you knowing it? Would you like if somebody withdrew without you knowing it? No. No, but imparting is just fine with me. If somebody wants to make an impartation into my bank account today, they're welcome to just go right ahead and do so. I'll give them whatever access they need. Only in the impartation direction, not in the withdrawal direction. Well, is it okay for God to impart some things into you? Deposit some things. And he said this, I want to impart to you some spiritual gift. Now, that could lead to a little bit of misunderstanding because of this. When people read that term spiritual gift, the first thing they think of is those 9 gifts of the Spirit. You know, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, the whole list in 1 Corinthians 12. Have you ever read that over there? You're familiar with that? And it's not, that could be included here, but that's not the only thing it's talking about. I remember when I first became a Christian, first got saved, and I didn't go to what you'd call a Pentecostal or charismatic church, similar to this one. We call this a full gospel church, right? And we believe in the things of the Spirit, don't we? Uh-huh, yeah. Thank God for him. I didn't go to one of those churches, but I had a good friend who did, and he got a hold of this verse. But he didn't really know anything about it, but he got a hold of it. Have you ever met somebody that knew just enough of the Word of God to be dangerous? So that was him. His name was Rock. He knew just enough of the word to be real dangerous with it. And he said, he's got a bunch of us together and said, hey, I read this verse, found this verse here about imparting spiritual gifts. So let's do it today. I'm going to impart to you. And he listed one of those 12 gifts. I'm going to impart to you the gifts of healings. And you can't do that. That doesn't work like that. He misunderstood. Really, it just means a spiritual deposit. The word gift in the Greek, it means anointings or endowments. Anointings. Do you know what that is? This is when the Spirit of God comes on you and puts, amen, to minister to somebody else. Anointings, deposits, endowments, spiritual help, if you will, spiritual equipment. I'm interested in that. How about you? Yeah. But Paul was saying, I got to get to you in person. Because there needs to be a deposit of spiritual endowments, anointings, equipment, help that can only happen in person. As we grow in the things of God, we understand that there's different ways that the Lord works, different ways that the Lord moves. And we understand this. I think everybody here would agree that it is possible for you to receive from God directly. How many would raise your hand and say, I've received something from God directly before? Just me and him. He spoke to my heart. I was in my car. I was in my house. And I got an answer. I got something directly. So can that happen? And does that happen? Yes, absolutely it does. But I would say this. Can you, or ask this, can you receive everything you need from the Lord directly? And the answer is absolutely no. No, one will never receive all they need from him just directly between him and them without coming regularly to the place they've been called, to the pastor that they've been called to. Now, that's a good spot to just say amen. 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 I'll tell you this, without your pastor, you will continually be in need. You will continually be lacking. Without the man of God, without the place, the church, the local church that he's put in your life. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says it. Jesus said, without a shepherd, and the Greek word translated shepherd's the same one translated pastor. He said, without a shepherd, the sheep are scattered, they'll faint. Well, what's it mean to faint? It means you didn't make it all the way. You gave out. Well, I don't know about you. I want to get to the other side of every adventure in life. I want to get to the other side of every challenge that I have in my life. Don't you? How many of you don't want to drop dead in the middle of the challenge? You want to get to the other side of every challenge. Well, what did Jesus say was key to that? Without a shepherd, or we could say without a pastor, you're not going to make it all the way. So on the one hand, we thank God that we're able to receive from God directly. We have the Spirit of God living in us. Amen. We're able to get with him, get with the Word of God just all by ourselves and get so many things, but you'll never get all you need. You're deficient by design. God's designed you to be dependent. No, not dependent on a man, but dependent on that ministry office and dependent upon that anointing on the pastor's life. Amen. And that's revelation that the church lacks. Don't you know that so many, maybe you know some Christians that they're like, well, you know what? I believe in Jesus. I love the things of God, but I'm burnt out on church and I got hurt at some church and I don't need this. I don't need pastor and I don't need this. Oh yeah, you do. I said, oh yeah, you do. And thank God, I'm just thrilled for you. You got one. Amen. So Paul was just, we could say he was just dead set on getting there to the church at Rome. And he was convinced that he'd miss out on some fruit if he didn't get there. And he said this, if you just look on, verse 13, he said, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant that oftentimes I purposed to come to you. And the King James says, but I was let hitherto. In other words, he was hindered. So Paul tried, did he not? How many agree in your scriptures that Paul tried to come many times, but something stopped him one way or the other? Do you know that the enemy knows how essential it is for you to get to that place where you can have some personal impartations from your man of God? And so he'll try and stop and try and keep you from your place. And the enemy can hinder, He cannot keep you, though, if you will not be kept from it. If you will say, I am coming to get all God has for me. Nothing's going to keep me out of church. Nothing's going to keep me out of my place of feeding. What was Paul wanted to get there? Why? There was going to be deposits. There was going to be distributions. There was going to be endowments. There was going to be anointings. These things were going to be transferred. Amen. Something that was in Paul. How much was in the Apostle Paul? How much? What do you mean, how much? How much of God? How much did he know of God? Not just head knowledge, but real heart knowledge, experience. How much did he know? More than anybody I've ever met. And Paul was saying, man, if I can just get there, if I can just get to them, then some of these things that are in me are going to be transferred to them, and what a blessing it'll be. Amen. Well, that kind of transfer, that kind of depositing, that still happens today. You know, it's happening right now as you're receiving, right? I mean, the sound of my voice is bouncing off your physical eardrums, but that's not all that's happening, right? The Holy Spirit's involved in any kind of preaching that goes on in this room here, isn't he? And as we're speaking and as physical sound is transferring, he's working in the hearts and he's taking the Word of God and unveiling and revealing it to you. Thank God for it. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. So the Church of Rome, when Paul wrote this to them, let them know, guys, I've wanted to come to you a whole lot of times. It's just been hindered from doing it. I just haven't been able to get to you like I wanted to. If that church had known, they were a young church, you know, and it takes time to grow a church. It takes time to train people. But if they had known how valuable and what was in Paul, how valuable those things were, I think that church should have done whatever it took to get him there so that he could bring those deposits to him. Praise the Lord. Everybody say deposits. Deposits. Say it again like you're happy about it. Deposits. Amen. Now, this wasn't just unique to the church at Rome. Paul had a lot of different churches that he had started, that he had established. And Paul was interested in depositing to each one of them. We know that he eventually got to Rome, but we don't have a follow-up letter that tells us what happened when he got there. But we do ask you maybe to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because Paul did go to the church at Corinth before he wrote this letter. So this letter was a follow-up. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is this okay? Is this all right today? All righty. Good. Seems good to me. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. Paul says, and I, brothers, when I came to you. So here we have a description of what happened when Paul came. When I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. Now look at this. In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So notice this, brothers and sisters, that when Paul came to bring these same kind of impartations to the church at Corinth, there was, of course, speaking, there was preaching, there was also something called demonstrations of the Spirit. Now, you say that term, it can scare people. That they're like, oh, okay, what are you talking about? What does that mean? It can look like a variety of different things. But let's just suffice it to say that when Paul ministered, things happened. Things happened. Do you like going to a church where things happen? Yeah. Ever been to a church where nothing was happening? You go the way you came and you leave the way you came, unchanged. Glory to God, that's not here, is it? What was happening? All kind of stuff happened with Paul. I mean, sometimes he had to flee the city afterwards, but things were happening. Amen. The Spirit was being demonstrated. People were being healed. People were being blessed. I mean, one time over in Acts 14, you read over there, Paul's just preaching away, and all of a sudden he perceives in his spirit that there's somebody there who has faith to be healed. Well, it was a crippled man. It was obviously that he was in need. But Paul just senses this man's getting it. He's ready to receive right now. Well, how would he know that? He knew it by the Spirit. He knew it by the Spirit. And so he just said to the guy, you over there, you believe this? And the guy said, you better believe I believe it. He said, well, get up. And when Paul said that, and the man made the effort, the power of God hit him, and he was healed. A crippled guy was healed. I said, a crippled guy was healed. Hallelujah. By hearing the word of God. Amen. And that word made a deposit into him. And that deposit, when he acted upon it, caused him to arise and stand up. Amen. And so impartations, things were being deposited. Amen. Things were being distributed to people. Glory to God. Does that still happen today? These kind of transfers of, we hear the term sometimes, the transfer of power. You know, when a political figure is going out and a new one comes in. There's a transfer. Well, in that case, the old guy, the one that's going out, doesn't have the power anymore once it's transferred. But I'll tell you, with the things of God, things can be transferred from, let's just say, for instance, I'm up here today. Things could be transferred from me to you. I don't lose it like that kind of transfer of power in the political. I might need a nap afterwards from preaching it to you or, you know, working. Praise God. But things can be transferred from one person to another person. Glory to God. There are a few different ways that these impartations can happen or can occur. And I'd like to just, before we're done, share those ways with you if I can. You okay with that? There's probably more ways than this, but these are the four main ones that I see. And two of them I'm going to tell you really quickly. The other two I'll take a little bit of time on if you're okay with that. They're so important. How do spiritual things get transferred? How do spiritual things get imparted? The first way I see is this, and you would know this, when the word's being preached. And maybe that's the number one way. It's not the only way, though, but it's probably the number one way. When the word of God is being preached, when the word of God is being taught, we already made reference to the fact that the Spirit of God is imparting truth into people's spirits. So when pastor is up here ministering, or what do you call your wife in the church here, Miss Shelley? Okay, Shelley, Sister Shelley. I could tell you some stories, by the way, but the tape's rolling, so I'd better not. Glory to God. Miss Shelley was in my preaching lab class back at Raymond. She's a good minister, a good preacher. Amen. Wonderful woman of God. And much in her and much in your pastor that the Lord would like to impart into your life. Why did I even say anything about that? Oh, yeah, when she's up singing or exhorting like she was and pastor's preaching, impartations are happening. Well, that's the first way. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time because I think you're probably pretty established in understanding that. But the second thing I'd like to share with you, the second way that spiritual things are imparted into the life of other people is by closely following others that are anointed. Closely following others that are anointed, following their lives. And I want to give you some scripture to prove that because I don't expect you to swallow what I say without the word. Is that all right? Can you go to 2 Kings chapter 2? 2 Kings chapter 2. Hallelujah. Man, I'm believing good things for Andover, Massachusetts. I'm telling you, this area just absolutely needs good churches like this one. And you are so blessed to be here in the beginning phases of this work. How do you think you'd be doing today if you got in the first year that Walmart began to operate and you got in as an investor and bought up a bunch of stock? Don't you think you'd be blessed today because of how things have expanded? You're so blessed to be in, we could say, even though we're on the third floor, You're on the ground floor. You're the core. You're the ones that we're starting with here. Amen. Do you know there's such blessing attached if you just stay hooked? If you just stay with this thing, put your faith to it and put your support to it. All right, I gave you some time to find 2 Kings. Did you find it?
Yes, sir.
We said to you this, that this second way that things are, spiritual things are imparted, is by closely following others who are anointed. This is the story of two prophets, Elijah and Elisha. Verse 1, it said, "It came to pass as the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, 'Tarry here,'" or "wait here, "for the Lord sent me to Bethel.' And Elisha said to him, 'As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I'm not leaving.'" You might want to underline that or make note of that. He said, "I'm not leaving you." So they went down to Bethel. They went down together. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel, they came forth to Elisha and said, "Do you not know that the Lord will take away your master from your head today?" And he said, "Yeah, I know it, but hold your peace." In other words, be quiet about it. They were picking up in their spirits that something's going on with Elijah. He's getting ready to transition out of here. Elijah, verse 4, said to him, "Elisha, wait here, for the Lord sent me to Jericho." And he said, "As the Lord lives and as thy soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went together. What did he say again? He said, "I'm not leaving." And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said, "Don't you know that the Lord will take away your master from your head today?" And he said, "Yeah, I know it. Hold your peace." In other words, shut up. Don't stop talking about it. And Elijah said unto him, "Wait here, I pray, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." Well, he's going all over the place, isn't he? In one day. And he said, "As the Lord lives and as thy soul lives, I will not leave you." And the two went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, and he wrapped it together, his coat, you know. And he smote the waters, so that they were divided hither and thither, and so they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I be taken away from you." And Elisha said, "I pray, let a double portion of your spirit be on me." It goes on a little bit. I'm just going to stop right there to say a couple things. You have to closely follow those who God's using. And that's one way that what's on them can come on you. Elijah didn't ask this of Elisha. Remember when we just read, Elijah said, "What shall I do for you?" He didn't say that until Elisha had several opportunities to leave. Right? Elijah saying, "You know, you don't have to come with me on this. Go." I don't know if Elijah knew exactly how this whole catching up thing was working. He just had a sense that something's going on in me. It seems like I'm going to transition out of here today. But Elisha kept saying, "I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you." And because he stayed, Elijah said, "What shall I do for you?" He said, "I want a double portion of what's on you." Well, that kind of thing doesn't just come on you because you asked. Elijah went on to say, "If you stay with me till I go, you can have it." And so he did, and he did get that double portion of the anointing that's on him. What's the point of all this? Never leave your man of God. I'm going to say that 3 or 4 times. Never leave your man of God. Never leave your man of God. Never leave your man of God. Elisha, how many opportunities did he have in one chapter to leave? You have to purpose in your heart ahead of time, "I'm not leaving the place God's hooked me up to. I'm not leaving the person, the man of God that God's hooked me up to." Why? There's impartations that you can have in your life if you will just stay close, stay hooked up, realizing that there is such a precious supply even in your pastors here. And they're not looking to keep everything they know just to themselves. They want to get it to you. And one way it comes, sure, is preaching to you. But another way that comes is by you being to them something similar to what Elisha was to Elijah. Elisha's job was just to help, was just to be faithful, was just to do anything that needed to be done. If you actually read over into chapter 3, it says that Elisha poured water on the hands of Elijah, meaning that when it was dinner time, they didn't have running water. So Elijah held his hands out, and Elisha poured the water on, wiped things off for him. How spiritual is that? It's not. But there's spiritual things connected to it. So do you understand that when you show up early, when you bring your supply of help, when you say things like, "Pastor, if there's anything I can do for you, let me know, and I'd be happy to do that." You understand that you're setting yourself up for impartations into your life by doing that. Could you say amen? That is true. I mean, I could tell you stories in our ministry, in our experience, how different people have not only said that to us, but come through and meant it and done things to help us. It's not that we're looking to be served. It's not that I'm looking for somebody to wash my hands for me. You know what I mean? But right on the other hand, the more I'm able to give myself to the things of God, that's always better for my people. That means that I'm going to be able to bring them more. And I mean, I'm thinking of one lady. She had lost her job. She's looking for another job, but she is getting, unemployment and stuff. But she said, "Pastors, while I'm in this time where I'm looking for this other job, I want to clean your house for you." Well, we didn't have to pray about that too hard. But the thing is, God has blessed every time she's brought a supply to us like that. God has blessed her and put things in her life because of it. And one of the recent things the Lord's done for this lady is brought a man into our church who they very well may be getting married, it looks like. Well, how precious is that? Do we see that there's a connection between bringing your supply and receiving your supply? We've had another guy in the church helped us for years and years. And we know we're not asking people to do stuff, but just the Lord prompted them and it's on their heart. And they'd sometimes, Wednesday night, I'd come in for our midweek service and there'd be dinner there for us to take home afterwards that they cooked for us. Oh man, what a blessing that is. Things like that, put together our whole helps ministry and ran it. Such a blessing because it enabled us to not have to deal with that. We could deal with just ministering the word to people. And that fella has been promoted. He's out pastoring his own church today. Amen. Does it matter that you stay close to those that God hooked you up to? Oh, yes, it matters. It matters. And I tell you, you just have to know ahead of time that the enemy will work on you to try to get you offended, try to make you leave. Do you realize that? I mean, even, I loved this church until they had that redheaded guy come in and just fuss at us. And I think I'll just go to the church down the street where they give away TVs and... No. How many would say there's nothing that's going to pull me out of my place of feeding? Nothing's going to pull me out. Lift your hand if that's your testimony. Pastor, only two people. Sorry. The others are out of here. Hallelujah! Nothing's going to pull me away from my supply. Why? There's so much connected. I've noticed this over the years that the people that bring the greatest supply to the church, they always get the greatest supply from the Lord out of the preaching, in their lives. They're the ones that are always, you always see the things of God working for them. You always see them prospering and coming up. And they're the ones that time and time again, anytime something needs to be done in the church, they're the ones that say, "Pastor, don't worry about it. We'll take care of that. How do you want it done? Just give us the instruction. We'll do it so you don't have to." And those people that bring the greatest supply, they're always the ones that receive the greatest supply out of the things of God. I've proven that year after year after year. Amen. Now, we also have folk that show up once a month. Every month, glory to God, here they come. You never know which week it's going to be, but they do make it in once a month to church. Y'all don't have any of those folk here, do you? Hallelujah. And we have one husband and wife that they come, actually they're a little overdue. It's been about, and I just always assume they're gone until then they show up about every fourth week. But they've been doing this for about 8 years with us now. Once a month. And every time they come up to us afterwards, and the lady will come up to me and she said, and her eyes are really big, and she said, "Pastor, that was wonderful today. That was wonderful." And I always have to hold my tongue. I want to say, it's wonderful every Sunday, and it's wonderful every Wednesday night. It's wonderful more than once a month. Glory to God. But once a month. But I'll tell you this, in all those years, they've never made an ounce of progress in life. Not an ounce of progress. They're still hurting as bad as they were financially 8 years ago. They're still hurting today, just like they were back then. Nothing's improved for them after all those times. Why? They're not staying close. Well, that's the second thing, and that's one of the ones I said I'd take a few minutes on. What was the first way you receive impartations, deposits? Through the ministry of the Word, glory to God. Second way, remain close to the people God's hooked you up with. It matters. It matters what church you go to. It matters who your pastor is. And it matters that you bring a supply to them. Amen. Now this isn't, of course, we as a pastor, I have to preach this to my own congregation, and I know it can sound self-serving. It's not. It's to serve you. It's to help you grow. It's to help you put you in a position to receive more from God. And just like I tell my kids, this is how you ought to act at home, I have to tell my church members, this is what's appropriate and this is what's right here in church. Amen. And so sometimes, I want to say one more thing about this before we give you the third thing. Do you know that there's times where I'm going to say this really carefully, okay? And I'm going to tell you ahead of time, don't take it wrong. Wave your hand at me if you understand what I'm saying. There's times you ought to want to leave your pastor. Now, here's why I said that. Because not everything that they're going to bring you is complimentary in your life. Part of what they bring you is corrective in your life. Amen. And they might not be talking to you directly, but they may be bringing the correction of the word to you. And you may hear it and you may think, I don't like that at all. And the enemy will take that opportunity to say, yeah, they don't do that kind of preaching at the church that gives away the TVs every week. You ought to go there. Amen. If the pastor's doing a good job, which I know they sure are, they're going to bring you some things that are corrective in your life, that are challenging in your life, that kind of poke you the wrong way, rub you the wrong way. God will send people like me to rub you the wrong way and kind of spiritually slap you around a little bit and make you think, I don't know if I like this very much. Well, you've already purposed that. I'm expecting this kind of thing ahead of time, and I'm not leaving. I'm staying put. Praise the Lord. Well, that was free. There's no extra charge for that. The third thing. Praise God. A third way that spiritual things are imparted, distributed, deposited into your life is as you flow with the Holy Spirit together in a service. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because it's just too big a subject. That's a whole series in itself. But listen, during praise and worship, when Sister Shelley began to just minister out in other tongues, well, everybody jump in. Everybody participate. If she starts raising her voice and praising God, everybody lift your voice. Everybody praise the Lord. Can you do that? If whatever the flow of the Spirit is, hook up with that flow, participate, and as you do, the Lord, I'm telling you, will work things and do things. Whether you see Him in this natural realm or not, He's working things. The church, I was preaching last night in Portland, Maine, and had a good time with the folk up there, and it just came at the end of the service, just seemed like there was a real unction or a real anointing for us to just stand up and praise God good and loud. And I tell you, some of them looked at me like, no, you are kidding. You are kidding, right? And I just said, no, I'm not kidding. We're going to do it. And I find what I had to do was get one of the 8-year-old girls up there who was willing And I said to her, do you ever shout at your brother at home? She goes, oh, yeah, all the time. I said, well, shout to the Lord that same volume. Because you tell people to give the Lord a praise or give the Lord a shout, they're like, praise the Lord. And they think that's loud. But if we follow you to your house, I said, if we follow you home when one of the kids goes nuts or does something wrong, we know you're able to. If we catch you in front of the TV on Sunday afternoon, amen, when the Patriots are playing the Bills, we know you can shout. Amen. And so the point is, flow with the Spirit in a service, and there'll be great impartations for you. Great things deposited into your life. This fourth thing, can I give you, go right to number four? And before I do, let me just say this. People will ask, well, how do I know what to do in a service? Follow the platform. Follow the leaders. We all learn how to play follow the leader. Whatever direction they sense the Lord's taking us, just follow it. Whether you sense it or not, if they're going that direction, just go that direction with them. Praise God. Hope we're helping you today. But this fourth way, and a very, very important way, that things are imparted into the lives of believers is through the laying on of hands. That would be the fourth way, one of the four major ways. And we'll ask you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Maybe look at this one more scripture. I know I've been preaching a little while. I think I'm closing up. As we say in the ministry, getting ready to close. You know what that means? Absolutely nothing. No, I am. I'm not. I don't like to be long-winded. We don't want to force-feed people. Just give you enough till you're nice and full, and then hook back up with you another day. Praise God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, Paul's talking to Timothy, who was a young pastor. And he says, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up. Notice he said, you stir up. You stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands. There was something in Timothy that came from Paul through the laying on of hands. Praise God. We see that this may be one of the reasons why Paul was so anxious to get to the church at Rome personally, because there's something. What would that do for Paul to be there personally? It put him within arm's reach, within hand's reach of the leaders. There's something that's imparted through the laying on of hands that's a different impartation, different deposit than anything else. Brother Hagin, who we used to travel with, used to say this: the laying on of hands gives the supernatural an opportunity to work. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Paul did this, of course, in Timothy's life. Timothy wasn't in the church of Rome. He was at the church at Lystra, which was, if you've ever read the book of Galatians, that was the church at Lystra, Iconium, Derbe, and Antioch. Those four churches were the ones that Galatians was written to. But Paul practiced this. Different things can happen through the laying on of hands. You know, people can be filled with the Spirit through the laying on of hands. People can be healed through the laying on of hands. Equipment for ministry and equipment for service and what we would just call these impartations that we've been talking about, that can happen through the laying on of hands. You know, Deuteronomy talks about Joshua, who was a leader in the what we would call the church back then. And it says Joshua was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. There was a transfer. There was some kind of transfer, some kind of impartation that took place through the laying on of hands. And then the other thing that happens through the laying on of hands is that people can just be blessed or refreshed spiritually through the laying on of hands. People would bring children to Jesus so he could put his hands on them, bless them, and refresh them. So how many understand that we need every kind of spiritual impartation that God has for us? Why? Because you can't do the work of God without the spiritual equipment that it takes to do the word. Even getting up and preaching to you, this is not a mental exercise. It took me listening to God, me getting hearing some direction from God, That was spiritual. And then getting it out to you. I need the unction. I need the anointing of the Spirit to minister to it. Otherwise, it would be dry and dead. And I don't know if what you think. I don't feel like it's dry and dead in here today. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So did you get something today? Yes. How do you receive impartations? Number one, through the Word. Through the Word being preached and taught. Number two, through staying close. Staying in close association and bringing your supply to the leaders that God's hooked you up to spiritually. Thirdly, through flowing with the Spirit when He's in manifestation and moving. And boy, wouldn't we love to just spend a lot of time ministering on those things and growing in those things. And then fourthly, through the laying on of hands. Wonderful things are imparted. Glory to God. Well, would you stand up with us today?